Welcome to Rewire with Brian Coons. This is episode 25, and today I have a beautiful, dear friend of mine here. She is a strong advocate and promoter of health and wellness. She's dedicated 15 years to researching advancements in biomechanics, physical fitness, diet, and emotional health. She addresses the body as a whole, so understanding the mind-body relationship, cellular memory, and the effects of stress on the human body to help connect the mind, body, and spirit. Thank you so much, Sandra, for being here today.
Well, thank you for having me, Brian.
Yeah, so you know what? We've just chatted before the call here to regarding your name, because it is Sandra, and then you have Catalina. You said we'd save that story for later, but I'm kind of curious now how Sandra and Catalina sort of came about. So why don't we start there?
That sounds good, actually, because it'll probably tie in nicely with the idea of thought. When I was born, I was named Sandra Catalina Milan, but my mom loved Cat, and she loved Kathy in particular. She loved Catalina. She just really resonated with that middle name. So that's what I was called every day. And then when school came into play, when I had to be enrolled in school, I was moved from South America, from Ecuador, to Canada, to Toronto. And that was in 75, I think. So I was about 5 or 6 years old. And I suddenly get enrolled as Sandra Catalina Milan. And then people just grab Sandra and take it on. And I didn't know the language because I only spoke Spanish up until that point. And B, I had never heard of this name. So here I am, this little 5, 6 year old without knowing the language, and suddenly I'm being called this name, Sandra, Sandra, Sandra. So I start to assume that's me, obviously, they're referring to me, and that maybe that's this new language that I'm learning. So I took it on as normalcy, and therefore that's who I became. But really, when it comes to name, I love the idea that it doesn't really matter. I mean, we can call ourselves whatever we want to call ourselves. And that was a huge example to me that it just didn't really matter. It was all in what felt right at the time. So what felt right at home was Kathy, and what felt right at school was Sandra. So that kind of progressed into, you know, further and further into my life. I accepted it. I went with it. And I never changed it. And I never thought it was an actual problem until later on in life, when people started to have judgments and ideas about that. Well, why are you Sandra? Why are you Kathy? Why are you Catalina? And it just fascinated me. I was like, well, does it really matter?
Right.
It just is.
Yeah. 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 It's interesting because, you know, recently I've been, you know, in my meditation, I've been asking 4 questions. This kind of came from Deepak Chopra. And it was the 4 questions I ask every morning is, who am I? What do I want? What's my purpose? And what am I grateful for? Mm-hmm. Who am I? I mean,
exactly.
It's not that name anyway, right? It's
exactly.
Not those letters.
Exactly.
It isn't really even this flesh suit I'm currently inhabiting. So it's funny how people can get stuck on names and titles and labels.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I'm glad you actually started with that, because that's a big one. And I'm able to laugh about it today, but I mean, there was a time, I would say probably in my teenage years, where it did bother me. And I used to wonder, like, okay, well, what do I do? Do I change it? Do I ignore what my family loves to call me? And then as I got older and older, I started to realize, wait a second, it doesn't even matter. I mean, I'm still the same person. I still feel the same. I still act the same. And therefore, it doesn't really matter.
Right.
So I kept it. So I'm actually quite proud of my name now, and I love putting it out in whole, Sandra Catalina Milan. I do have it bracketed around Catalina because I resonate more so with it, just because that's what I was called from birth onwards, right? So, right. And in family situations anyway.
Yeah. Cool. Well, thanks for sharing that. That's I never knew that.
You learn a new thing every day, Brian.
Absolutely. Yes. So we are, I think was it week 5 in quarantine currently? Is it week 5?
Yep.
So how are you managing What's a day look like for you these days?
I'm doing good. I'm, you know, I'm trying to create as much normalcy without really considering it as, you know, normal. It is what it is. And I really just want to continue to grow and evolve and maintain that level of awareness that it doesn't stop. You know, we don't just stop creating because we stopped moving necessarily. And I think that's one of the things that you loved about my post was, we're not really stopped at all. As we're thinking, as we're creating, we're still moving. So I try and realize that, okay, I've got the opportunity to create a whole new me. Change is really good for us. So I don't have the same schedule anymore, but that's actually a good thing. I can include or take away whatever I wish at this point, and that's kind of empowering.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned in that post, and that was kind of was the catalyst to doing this podcast. It just completely lit me up and blew my mind, and I loved it, and I resonated with every word. But you mentioned, you know, that even though things have stopped, you know, being forced to stop, but we are this electrical, energetic being, you know, vibrating. And it's fascinating how most people have no connection to that whatsoever. They have a connection to more of the egocentric sort of identity of who they are. Right. But the energy centers are there. And, you know, it's something that I'm talking about this, you know, like I know about it. I do now because of years of practice. But, you know, people are really disconnected from that.
Yeah. And you're right. And it does take practice because it's just having to, you know, bring yourself back to awareness all the time and not go with the old habitual ways of thinking and believing, and passing judgments and all that. But yeah, we are just energy. We're just pure energy. It's in every cell of our body. So we're not stopped at all. We're still in the process of constantly creating and evolving and changing and becoming. So to limit yourself with the idea that you're stuck at home, that you can't do anything, that you can't move, that you can't go back to your normalcy and your daily routines is really disheartening. And I think that's what's probably causing so much fear and anxiety in the world right now, that that we're feeling stuck. We're feeling like we can't go anywhere. And those feelings create a lot of stress. You know, it's in that emotional aspect of who we are that we either hinder or influence ourselves in a good way.
Right. Just talk about practice for a minute. I mean, what are you doing in your practice? Are you doing anything differently now that you've got more time and, you know, maybe more stress? I mean, you have, you also are part of a clinic that's currently closed and, you know, transitioning to virtual. And there's some uncertainties. Are you practicing more? And what's a daily routine look like for you?
Yeah, I love, I've been really enjoying Wim Hof's breathing techniques. Bo and I get up every morning and actually we end the day with some breathing techniques as well. So I love it. I love my cold showers. I have stopped having hot showers. I don't know for how long now, but it's so good. I really, really enjoy them. That's something new to me probably within this last 6 months to a year. And I haven't gone back. So I have not had a warm shower for quite some time now. And I love it. It's exhilarating. It reminds me that I can take on whatever I want.
Yeah.
That, you know, I'm not trapped by my fears, really. Because it's scary at first. You're thinking like, it's cold. It's awful. It's not. And it's just thought, right? As soon as you go, no, I'm completely fine. This feels great. This is doing something amazing for me. Everything transforms.
Yes. Yeah, he's such a fascinating cat, that dude. And I did his mini course. I've been doing the breath work for a while, and the cold showers, I'm starting to work those in as well. But you know what? The resilience that you create from those cold showers is quite significant. But the breath work is so powerful. I mean, I've been meditating for years, but now actually, when you actually marry breath work with the meditation, so by doing the three sets of 30 breaths with the holds between, and then sort of cascading into the meditation, you're already in that stillness.
Yeah. So that's exactly what I do. Exactly. That's exactly how we take it on as well. We do the breath work and then we sit in meditation. And then on top of that, just with all the research I've been doing, I came across an organization called HeartMath Institute, and they are, they've just been doing such incredible research and study on the effects of the heart and the mind, and how bringing coherence between the heart and the mind changes our emotional state, which then changes our physiology, of course. So, So I've been doing a lot of research on that and have been practicing with myself, with family, taking on some case studies as well. And it's fascinating. It's wonderful to be, and it also brings me back to the awareness, which is what I really want to teach, that we have control over our physiology, that we're not as powerless as we were led to believe for many, many years, where we thought, the autonomic system is automatic and we can't do anything about it. Well, now we recognize that it's far from that. We can actually take over our emotions and change our physiology very, very quickly. It happens like within milliseconds. So, that to me has been like just changing entirely who I am. And it couldn't have come at a better time, because this is what we need right now, is to be able to recognize that even in lockdown, even in times of uncertainty, we can take over how we think, how we perceive, and how we feel about a situation at any moment of during the day. It doesn't matter when.
So powerful. So mm-hmm. powerful. And once you start to dabble into that feeling of, you talk about the coherence and with your heart and the fact that you can actually gain access to your subconscious program through that awareness and this practice, it's really, I don't want to use the word addictive, because it's actually, that doesn't necessarily fit, but it's such a game changer.
Yeah,
you just feel so alive, and then know that you're actually mm-hmm. starting to create your own reality mm-hmm. through your own thoughts. And
if you're going to have an addiction, why not be that one? Why not be addicted to the idea that we can take over our physiology and just allow ourselves to be healthier in mind and body and spirit? It's so powerful, and I really, one of the things that I do when I sit in my coherent state is send out love and compassion to everyone around me, because there are so many people that are believing that they don't have this in them, that they have got to, that they're feeling stress and anxiety and they need to rush for some kind of drug to help them deal with that. And that's not true. The chemistry is within us. We have the ability to do it ourselves. We don't necessarily need to run off and take a pill and numb ourselves. That's the worst thing that we could possibly do in this place that we're in.
Right. And you've got people like Dr. Joe Dispenza now, who is showing actual proof in brainwave scans and all these technologies now that actually show somebody can change their state, in real time, from depression or anxiety completely to love and coherence. You're advanced in your practice, and you're on this path now, and you're loving this transformation that you're experiencing. I think the biggest challenge is for a lot of people, and people listening to this as well, like a lot of this might not make any sense because they haven't started, or mm-hmm. they've done a few guided meditations, but it's just they're not really getting anywhere. What do you think is the key to help people sort of kind of embark on this journey? And what is the first step, would you think?
What I like to do is I like to explain to people that we are kind of like, Well, first of all, we know now that we are living in a very sort of programmed state, that 95% of our everyday way of being is from our subconscious programming that has happened very early in our lives between, you know, birth to about 5 or 7. So if we put ourselves, if we can kind of picture ourselves as that state, that child, it makes total sense that, you know, when we feel fear, that we want to run and hide, and that we don't know how to get past that. Sometimes we get stuck in our anxieties, we worry a lot, and that's, you know, that's the way the brain is set up to protect us. But like a child, and you have children, you know now that you don't want your child to be stuck in that state of fear and anxiety. You want them to acknowledge their emotions, because their emotions are healthy for them, and they're just there to show them that there's something going on, something's scaring them, or it's there to teach them something. So if they're going through that emotional state, and that's okay, be aware of it, pay attention to it. But now, let's try and get you out of that emotional state as quickly as possible, because it's actually harming you. It's causing stress hormones. It's causing way too much cortisol and adrenaline in the system. And we know now how much that causes, how much it deteriorates our bodies. So would we want to keep our child, you know, sitting and crying in the corner over a scraped knee, or, any kind of stressful situation that they might be in? Your answer is probably no. We want to help our children get out of that as quickly as possible, and reshift the focus back into gratitude and care and compassion and love and excitement all over again, which is, on the flip side, extremely good and healthy for us. You know, that's on the flip side, that's when our oxytocin is being released, and we're getting all those amazing hormones that help us and heal us. So that's how I try to present it to my clients, is we don't want to be stuck in our negative emotions. They are our fallback, yes, but that doesn't mean that we don't have control over them. We want to get ourselves back into homeostasis and feeling fantastic all over again, because we have that capability.
Right. So people, we want to get them out of that state as quickly as possible, but sometimes people don't have the tools or the skills to, or the awareness to actually do that. So, meditation, is that?
Meditation is fantastic.
Yeah.
And also, knowledge is power. So if you don't understand something, look into it. We're sitting at home now with so much more time. Look into it. Do some research. Understand what are emotions really? What do they do for us? How do they get processed in the brain? What does the emotional component do to the brain and therefore the body? And then you might get curious. You might start to go, wait a second, well, then maybe I can do something about it, right?
Yeah. I get a sense right now that a lot of people are being forced into that space where they've been, you know, they don't have all of the shiny object distractions of their regular busy lives, running around doing this, chasing this, so busy, busy, busy. But now they've paused. They've had to sit with themselves for long enough. And, you know, eventually you run out of shit to watch on Netflix, and you kind of have to go inward, right? And it might even be a lot of pain to be the teacher. But at this point, I get a sense that people are sort of at that precipice. And that's, I think, the word you used to start your post, where people are looking inward a little bit more now, and not because they actually chose to, but because now they have no choice.
And they have the time. You know, yeah. So it is, it's a really good time for us as, you know, for humanity. We do have to limit how much we listen to what other people say, because then again, we're being run by a program, and that's unhealthy. So yeah, limit the amount of news you listen to. It's good to care, but there's certainly a level of overcare that can only stress you. So there's that as well. Is just, you know, and that goes right back to the awareness. So that's why I think, meditation is so powerful, because it brings you back into present state as quickly as possible. So yeah, it's the most amazing tool we have to keep us healthy and strong.
Absolutely. What's absolutely changed my life. I mean,
and mine as well. Absolutely.
And I've noticed in the past, I mean, I don't miss a day ever, you know, in the last few years, but early on I would meditate for, you know, 3 months or so. And then I may actually kind of go on a little bit of a party bender for a week or two, you know, like I'm traveling or something and just leave it all behind. Right. And then coming back, you really lose ground. You atrophy so quickly. So it's really that repetition, because that old programming and any of that weird stuff that happens through childhood, what really shapes crazy amount of our character.
Yeah.
Those grooves run deep. So you definitely have to continue to rewire with the ongoing practice. So that's why I try to like get people, you know, who are listening to me or I've influenced with, or especially my coaching clients. Like, that's a habit we install right out of the gates. We protect time and we do it every day.
Yeah. And you're right. It has to be a habit, and it takes, you know, anywhere between 4 to 6 weeks to really create that habit. But once it's created, it, and you start to see, and I think I even mentioned that in the post, once you start to really see and feel those changes within you, that ability to control and have much more of an emotional intelligence, then that's a game changer. Then, you know, why would you want to go back to feeling anxious all the time or depressed and stuck in your past feelings? And that's just not necessary anymore. And that's very, very empowering.
Yes. And once you have that feeling, you know, I always say it's that consistency that creates that momentum that creates the feeling. So you've done it enough. You start to create some momentum, and then you have that feeling. And then once you sort of are in that place and you've done the work, it's a different life. It's a much more peaceful life.
Exactly. You've created a whole new you, and that's just amazing. Because that's the other thing that, you know, we don't realize, we're not taught very much, is how quickly we become a whole new person. You know, we are... we're constantly, every single minute of every day, we're constantly changing, regenerating new cells. So we're not the same people we were last year or the year before, like in actual physical sense of the word, even. We're not the same people. Our skin changes, our DNA changes, our liver, our stomach, everything changes. Everything's constantly regenerating and renewing itself. So that in itself is empowering, to know that we are always regenerating. We're constantly changing. It's amazing.
Right. I think one obstacle for some people is letting go of the old self in some way. So there's certain things. Well, you know, Brian, he can drink a bottle of tequila and just keep plowing forward, or like certain things that, you know, you kind of hung your hat on as like,
that's a badge me. Or whatever. Exactly.
Yeah, well, sure. Okay. So I've got a powerful enzyme, big deal. But I mean, you know, it's just one example, but you know, it might mean even changing the influence of people that you surround yourself with and thinking these things are really difficult to do sometimes when you've got, you know, maybe you've got some really good friends for 10 or even 20 years, and suddenly to say, okay, you know what? This is Groundhog Day, man. Like we're talking about the glory days, and I'm not growing. So, you know, those five you surround yourself with, you know, I think it's part of this process. It's, you know, the full approach to this. And, you know, as I mentioned too, it is hard to let go of parts of yourself to develop new things, because you really can't play both sides of the fence.
Yeah. And, you know, we're just so programmed to feel comfortable in what we know, right? So as soon as this is who we are, this is what we do, this is who I am. And so it's comforting. You don't want to necessarily change that. That seems, you know, scary to a lot of people. But when you flip it around and you actually see it as an empowering thing, that you have the capability to do that, to recreate yourself, to be a new person, to take on new challenges, then you'll see it and feel it differently. Because perception really is everything. You know, right. When I mentioned to you in our previous conversation, when I first moved to Vancouver, it was a scary time, but I very quickly, and I would say almost daily, tried to remind myself that it's actually an exciting time, because the flip side of fear is just, you know, excitement. we get that butterfly feeling in our stomach. It's like, I'm so scared, but is it really I'm scared, or is it that I'm actually excited? Because it, we can see it on from that flip side as well. And then you take it on with greater enthusiasm.
100%. The other thing is too, I mean, when we talk about fear and changes, sometimes people forget that we're here only temporarily for a split second, it seems, in the big picture, you know, and we take things so seriously. Life is short. So, you know, you moving to the other side of the country and starting something new is scary, but you're alive, you know, you're living mm-hmm. your life. You're not just mm-hmm. going through that same motion and in that comfortable pattern that we can become, that familiarity you mentioned, right?
Yeah, exactly. And that's a challenge for sure, but it's an exciting time as well.
Yeah. Yeah. So do you think now, week five, I don't know how much longer this is going to go on. I'm getting a feeling that it's at the peak now, and we may be sort of returning to non-quarantine life, maybe in 6 weeks or so, I'm not sure, but do you feel things will be, I mean, everyone talks about, well, I can't wait for things to return to normal. Well, you know, well, normal is not going to be there. I mean, it's going to be a different kind of world, but what are your predictions? I mean, do you think people will have changed through this time? Like, I'll just give you one quick example. Yesterday, I was taking my kids for a bike ride. We go to this forest area near my house, and I go there almost, you know, we go there almost daily with the dogs before all this happened. Mm-hmm. Now I see there's people just all over the place in there, and they're like actually connecting with nature, and you see more and more of this, and I think it's good, but I mean, do you think it's a positive impact here going forward? What do you?
Yeah, I'd like to think so. I think that, you know, how we mentioned that it takes about 6 weeks for us to create a whole new, way of thinking and new patterns, new routines. So this, I think, is a really good positive time. I know it doesn't seem like it because there's so much uncertainty, but at the same time, we're being forced to do things differently, which therefore is going to break some old patterns and old ways of being. And I think that's really important. And getting into nature, you're right. A lot of people are realizing, wait a second, it doesn't feel great to be stuck in my house. I'd rather risk being, you know, getting into trouble by the authorities, let's say, because, you know, we're fortunate here in North America to not be as policed as in some parts of the world are. So we're recognizing that need for connection with nature, and that's really powerful. I'm hoping that people hang on to that, that they really start to see themselves as a part of nature, and that we need to apply all the principles of nature into our own way of being, into our own lives.
Yeah. Well, you've got some beautiful nature out there. I mean, you mentioned.
Yeah, you know, I'm
you're
really.
Out today. You have a daily walk, and
I feel really, really fortunate. I right now with the way the world is and how unhappy some people are in their state, I don't post as much of my beautiful pictures. But I have to tell you, like, I feel really, really fortunate to be here in British Columbia. It's gorgeous. There's so much freedom, and there's just so much space. There's so much untapped areas that of potential that we can go to. But at the same time, I'm hoping that people can at least get in their cars and drive for a bit wherever they are, so that they can get into that, put their feet in the sand or in water, or just walk on rocks, because yes, we get so much resonance from the earth as well. And that's really powerful stuff. It really grounds us.
Yeah, absolutely. My feet are currently looking like dog paws right now, just from like trotting around. But I could tell you, I've got a big smile on my face.
So exactly. Exactly. That's the way we should be. And, you know, that was part of my, the awareness that started to come to me as a massage therapist too, is just, you know, watching how people function throughout their days, listening to the fact that they sit in their cars, they sit at their desks, they sit all the time. Well, it's no wonder your back is hurting. But if you get outside and you climb and you jump and you run and you pull and you do all the things that we're designed to do, our bodies function amazing. Like, we just do so well. You can see it in your children, I'm sure, just watching them,
yes,
how powerful and flexible they are, how their feet don't need shoes necessarily,
yeah,
you know? And that's good to remind ourselves with. So I'm hoping that that'll stick with people, that, you know, that we recognize that we don't do well in confined spaces. That's not who we are. We're social beings. We need to be out. We need to exchange energy with other beings. But in this moment that we are in lockdown, it's okay. Don't be frightened. We can still communicate with each other now more than ever with technology, but even just in our thoughts alone, in our, you know, if you want to call them prayers, in our prayers, but in thinking, we're sending out information into the field. We're communicating much more than ever now. And I think the more we teach people that, the healthier we'll all be as a collective.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, that's some beautiful wisdom. Thank you for sharing that. I'm going to say Catalina at the end of the podcast here, but so I can kind of cover both sides there. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Thank you again so much for this. And where can people find out more about you?
Well, like you mentioned, I do have a clinic that is closed down right now. So it's a collective. I have some fantastic practitioners that work in this collective, and we together really access the mind, body, and the spirit for everyone that comes to our clinic. And we're doing a lot of work online. So even if you want to reach out to, whether it's my hypnotherapist or acupuncturist, they are available online. But so Clinica Holistica is my collective. And then you can also reach me personally through my website, which is Mind Body Soul Synergy. And it's funny, I've had that name in the background of my thoughts for so many years now. And it's now feeling so perfect. It's absolutely what I am driven to do now, is to teach others that we have that potential to really hone in on who we are as a human. There's so much science behind it that I would love to share with people.
Beautiful. Okay. Well, thank you again, Sandra. And give that beautiful hubby Beau of yours a hug and a kiss for me as well.
Thank you so much, Brian. I feel privileged and honored to be here. Stay well and stay doing what you're doing, because I love what you're sharing.
Thank you.